You know, I tried to get Halle Berry or Daniel Craig to emerge in a wet swimsuit for you this morning, but that was fantastic. We didn't need them, choir. You guys were great. Would you join me in prayer? God, thank you so much for every person who's here today. Thank you for the life stories that we bring. Thank you for the way that you give us strength when the sky falls. May your Spirit be here today, enlivening us with wisdom, reminding us of what we already know, leading us into the knowledge that will see us through tomorrow. And may you be ever present with your love. May we really feel it. May we be it. May we share it in all that we are and all that we say and do in this thing that we call worship. May it be an act of love, not only to one another, but to life itself, to you, to opening ourselves up to that which is greater than self today. May your Holy Spirit inspire us in all things. In your name we pray. Amen. We will stand tall and we will face it together. The story today is the story of Lazarus, of the raising of Lazarus from the dead, a powerful story, and it's a story that leads to a lot of questions, I think for all of us. I've been studying the story for many years, and each time we come through, I have questions. I try to enter into it with my imagination. I think about, gosh, why did Jesus kind of seemingly procrastinate for a day or so before going there? And then when he knew in his spirit, in his soul, that his Lazarus had died. And that's really the way the Greek talks about Lazarus. His Lazarus, his love had died. He decides to go, and in the going, he risks a lot. He risks the point of no return in his own story that leads to his martyrdom. The sky really actually begins to fall on the ministry of Jesus of Nazareth. Following the resurrection or the regeneration of Lazarus. And when he risks this and goes back, the sisters, Mary and Martha, who run the house in Bethany, which was really seemed to be the family of choice for Jesus, he was there a lot, seemed to really love being with this group of people very much. The sisters came out and they give Jesus a hard time. And they're grieving and anger. And I got to tell you something. I've been a Mary and a Martha in my grieving at times. I've given God a hard time. And I figure, you know, God can probably handle that. But man, have I given God a hard time. I get angry. And it's very funny. I teach a lot as a pastor about, you know, anger and frustration and all this stuff that we've been going through. And when I grieve, it is the first emotion. And absolutely, I want to fight. I want to fight something, someone, but I don't know who to fight, you know, in that. And I think Martha, you know, Jesus sort of provided a good target, right? Here you are, Mr. Messiah, right, you know, and the one you love. I mean, these are intimate family to him. Do you get the language here? There's no other language like this about any other people in the stories of the Bible. Jesus, you didn't even come back when you heard the message. You waited another day before you came. And Martha comes out, that strong, beautiful Martha, and she's both angry and she's relieved, and her soul responds with an affirmation of Jesus as the Christ, even as she does not understand what's going on here. Mary comes out, and Mary seems to open up Jesus' own heart and emotions, a quality that Mary seems to bring out in Jesus time again. And then we have the shortest passage in the New Testament. Jesus wept. Jesus cries. He then asks to be brought to the grave, and where he says, after a prayer of thanksgiving to God, "Lazarus, come out." And of course, with that phrase, this story became incredibly important to early inclusive communities as well. When the man is resuscitated, this man that Jesus loved with all of his heart, Jesus tells the others, now take off his grave clothes and set him free. That's what some of the older translations say. I love that language, don't you? Take off his grave clothes and set him free. Beautiful story. But this story upsets us sometimes as well. Does anybody else find it upsetting at times? I have found it upsetting at times. It upsets us at times because, like so many of the miracle stories, we're grateful to see that they happened. And it breaks our heart when they don't always happen in our lives or the lives of those that we love. This story takes us to the heart of grief. If only we could have said to a loved one passing over to the other side of death, as Jesus did, come back to me. And I know we do that. I've done that. Come back to me. I'm not ready to let you go. If only it would have worked like it did in this story. Even just once would have been enough for those we love the most. Would that be asking for so much? But for the people in the days that this gospel was written, this story would have provided them with a great deal of comfort. It revealed the Christ cycle to them, this powerful and important cycle. It showed that Christ's love for each of them would be powerful enough to call them from the grave to new life on the other side of death, which, of course, is confirmed even more powerfully in God's remembrance of Jesus in his own resurrection story. From these earliest communities of the way, we inherit the audacity to believe that deaths are not endings. We inherit the audacity to believe that deaths are not endings, that love crosses the great seeming divide between life, death, and regenerated life. In this story, we are seeing the evergreen power of love at work. And my, isn't it beautiful? And while love does not keep us from dying, it does keep us connected to one another and our Creator through the mystical cycle of being. And you know, we enact this cycle in our sacraments and the way of Christ. In immersion baptism, we enter the water in one form of life. We give ourselves over to the control of the officiant. Have any of you ever been baptized by immersion? Anybody ever? Let me just see. I just want to kind of get a, well, that's a good survey. Yeah, by immersion. Will you ever forget when you walked into the water and kind of had to lean into somebody else's arms, right? You know? And you had to trust them to kind of take you under and then take you up. Or maybe you wanted to go this way and then up. And, you know, some of the most powerful baptisms that I've ever been a part of have been people who have hydrophobia. And so baptism not only represents this cycle for them in terms of the spiritualness, but also they had to go through a cycle of fear to even witness to that moment. So we have to trust somebody else. We go in one way of life. Then we have to trust and lean into somebody else's arms. And then we are taken under the water in a symbol of acceptance, in a symbol of the acceptance of our mortality. And then those arms that we trusted raise us up again. And hopefully we've held our nose, or it all goes into your nose. And we sputter and we cough like a newborn baby when we come up. We're raised up as a sign that the divine love which Christ introduced us to will ever regenerate our lives and all life when we have faith in this love. We will always be renewed. That is the promise. A life lived with faith in God's love is always cyclical. It's never linear and finite only. Even when we must get low, even when we must let go of the dying within and without. The story of Lazarus and Jesus has been an important one for faith communities who struggle for universal rights, to equal life, and opportunities for all. This has been a powerful story. We see the call to reach out and call one another out of our tombs of oppression. The call to communities to take off the grave clothes and set one another free. For what are oppressive and unequal practices but grave clothes? What is it to deny access to health care, access to education, access to legal recognition of families of all types, access to opportunity for minority children instead of access to courtrooms, or worse still, vigilante justice? Is it not soul-destroying to millions of women to still have faiths that will not ordain them to fulfill their spiritual vocations with equal opportunity to men in the 21st century? Will we allow white fright, my brothers and sisters, to roll back the gains toward racial equality and empowerment that people of all races fought so hard to set in motion? Conservatives and well-meaning progressives, we tell the oppressed among us and within us to wait. Wait until society, the church, the mosque, the synagogue, the sangha, the schools are ready to accept us or them. And while many inequalities do take generations to change, there is a collective responsibility we must all share in asking some of our brothers and sisters, our ancestors, and our children to stay bound in grave cloths, because we fear more those who can kill the body than we do the things that kill the soul. Are you with me today? We have been doing some powerful work together on Wednesdays and Sundays after church at the Our Time Lenten sessions. We have been learning a great deal about love. We haven't been calling it that, but that is what we are learning to practice in better ways together. Our world, our daily lives are filled with heart hassles and little deaths. It is worth it to learn how to find this Christ cycle in response to each one of those frustrations. That authenticity of emotion that Christ had in this story. The working with what is, what has really happened. Giving up the illusion of control over everything. And then finding the regeneration that the power of engaged love will inevitably bring in all things. There was a beautiful moment I want to tell you about at the Relay for Life event on Friday evening next door at Hillsborough High School, when cancer survivors and caregivers were given the honor of the first lap around the track. It was impossible not to have a tear or two or three or four in one's eyes as we cheered our brothers and sisters who have known all too well what it is through their versions of the Lazarus story. And I had a moment standing with one of our board members, Sonia, where with all of my heart I would have loved to see some of my own loved ones who are no longer here in body walking behind that survivor's banner. But it became very clear to me that they were there. They were there in the Christ cycle, in the faces of those who had survived and came back each year to march for themselves and for others. They were there in the faces of those who are active caregivers this year. And this track became a metaphor for the Christ cycle for me once again. Engaged love, bringing us around to regeneration once again. And my friends, That is a beautiful thing to have faith in. May God bless us today as we share living word. May God bless you wherever you are in your own cycles of life, wherever you are in your own Christ cycle right now of life, of letting go, of changes, of regeneration. The promise is that love does go before us, cycle by cycle, grade by grade, year by year, challenge by challenge. And that is good news indeed. Would you join me in prayer? Let's pray a little bit today, okay? God, I want to thank you so much for our bodies, for this body, for the stories that remind us that your love is ever present. Help us, Holy God, in our own ways to not only believe in regeneration, but also to have the courage to let your love flow through us, to regenerate those around us, near and far. Make us instruments of your peace, of your healing, of your care, of your love. You are the God that regenerates, that gives us the courage to be authentic, to be able to face what is sometimes with the continued faith that there will be regeneration, there will be more. May you give us a genuine blessing today, a spiritual touch, as we go forward from this place, remembering and being reminded that all is well, that you have gone ahead of us. In your holy names, I bless each person who is here today. May there be a genuine blessing that is carried out into each life. In your name we pray, Christ, and in the name of all that is good and all of the teachers who have shown us this spiritual truth time and time again in so many ways. We give you gratitude today. Amen.